fear is not your enemy. Indecision is. Most people think that you have to eliminate fear before making a big move. I believe the opposite. Because everything that I've ever wanted, and I'm sure that everything you've ever wanted, is on the other side of fear. All right, welcome back to The Pursuit of Profit. Today, I want to take you behind the scenes of our book, Beyond the Brand, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Fearless Franchising. People often asked us, why would you write a book on franchising? And the truth is, it wasn't just about business or franchising. It was about strategy, tactics, risk mitigation, and overcoming fear. The fear of failure, fear of making the wrong investment, and the fear of leaving the safety of corporate America. We've lived through those fears ourselves. We've made investments with trembling hands, and we've watched others paralyzed by uncertainty. But here's what we've learned. Fear isn't fatal, and uncertainty, that's where the opportunity lives. We wrote this book because too many people are buying the wrong businesses for the wrong reasons. They fall in love with the brand, the product, the service, without actually loving the work, what it's going to take to grow the business. They chase the shiny logo instead of the business that fits their lifestyle, their investment objectives, and their financial future. We've seen it, and we've lived it. And we knew it was time to tell the truth about franchising, right? The wins, the failures, and the lessons that no one else talks about. Inside this book, we go far beyond the glossy brochure version of franchising. We break down who is actually buying franchises today, from corporate executives looking for freedom, to veterans, to couples who just can't keep up with inflation. We show you how to retain employees and incentivize your management team, because leadership and culture drive profits more than anything else. We get into how to secure funding, being tax efficient, and limiting your downside risk. We also walk you through how to negotiate the key points in a commercial lease, the stuff that can make or break your profitability before you ever open your doors. We share our proven six-step due diligence process and our real-time decision-making matrix that lets you compare multiple brands side by side so you can choose with clarity instead of emotion. And throughout it all, we show you how to overcome fear, turning it from an obstacle into your greatest ally. This book is our blueprint for helping you, right? Helping you go beyond the brand, to strip away the noise, to see opportunities clearly, and to face fear head on with clarity, confidence, and courage. All right, let's shift gears. Before we get tactical, I want to zoom out and look at the big picture, because franchising doesn't happen in a vacuum. It moves with the economy, moves with our culture and consumer behavior, consumer spending. One of the most important things we tell readers in Beyond the Brand is this: if you ignore the trends shaping society, you'll end up in the wrong business at the wrong time. That's why in the book, we outline five major trends that are shaping the future of franchising, trends you should pay close attention to if you're thinking about investing. Number one is the silver tsunami. America is aging rapidly. Every day, 10,000 baby boomers turn 65 years of age. That creates huge demand for senior care, assisted living, and home services. Brands like Home Instead or Visiting Angels are capitalizing on this demographic wave, offering medical or non-medical home care, companionship care, while others are innovating with mobility solutions like chairlifts and stairlifts, or memory care and specialized housing like residential assisted living. Number two is the humanization of pets and animals. Pets aren't just animals anymore. They're family. Americans spent over $150 billion last year on pets. That's why franchises like Camp Bow Wow or Dogtopia are exploding in popularity. They combine boarding, grooming, daycare, and even enrichment services that mirror what you would do for your own children. Number three, the feminization of men. This is not about politics. It's about consumer behavior and biology. Men today are facing a silent crisis. Testosterone levels have been dropping for decades. Sperm counts are at record lows, and issues like erectile dysfunction and infertility are rising. What's the response? Men are spending more than ever on grooming, wellness, and personal care. Concepts like Floyd's 99 Barbershop, Hammer and Nails Men's Grooming Shop, where testosterone and hormone therapy clinics are thriving. These businesses are tapping into the fact that men are openly investing in their health, their appearance, and performance. The big takeaway, the feminization of men isn't just a social trend. It's a market trend. And franchises that meet men at this intersection of wellness, identity, and confidence are positioned to grow rapidly in the years ahead. Number four is the pursuit of youth. We just discussed the aging population. Anti-aging and vitality are no longer luxury. They're mainstream. Franchises like Massage Envy, Pause, and Forever Young are cashing in on the desire to look and feel younger longer. Services like IV therapy, cryotherapy, red light therapy, peptides, Botox, cold plunging, sensory deprivation. These are not fads. They're becoming lifestyle staples. Number five, youth enrichment. Parents are doubling down on their kids' futures, pouring money into education, sports, and enrichment. Brands like Kumon, Code Ninjas, Soccer Stars are thriving because they give parents peace of mind that their children are developing skills and confidence outside of the classroom. And it's not just academics or athletics. Art studios, cooking schools, and music academies are exploding as parents look for creative outlets that build confidence, discipline, and life skills. Whether it's math, soccer, piano, or culinary classes, enrichment has become less of an extracurricular and more of an essential investment in childhood development. Here's the big takeaway. These five trends aren't short-lived fads. They're long-term shifts in how people live, spend, and value their time. And in the book, we don't just list them. We show you how to analyze opportunities in each category, how to separate hype from reality, and how to choose a brand that can ride these waves for decades. Franchising like a futurist means asking the tough questions. Will this brand survive a recession? Will it survive AI? What about Amazon? Is it scalable, lean, and resilient? If the answer is yes, and it lines up with one of those five trends, you might just have found your lane. Spotting a trend helps you choose the right industry. But once you've chosen, execution is everything. And it starts with your lease. It's one of the most overlooked yet powerful financial levers in franchising. And it can make or break your bottom line before day one. In Beyond the Brand, we dedicate an entire section to commercial lease negotiations because the lease isn't just paperwork. It's a wealth lever, right? Get it wrong and you're stuck with hidden costs, escalations, and liabilities that can bleed your business. Get it right and you create breathing room and flexibility that directly fuels profitability. We outline 23 specific clauses every franchisee should know before signing. Things like limiting or avoiding personal guarantees, protecting yourself with a good guy clause, capping rent increases, securing tenant improvement money, and rent abatement during construction and post-opening, negotiating signage rights, and making sure your landlord, not you, is responsible for costs of the repairs like HVAC or roof replacements. We even cover advanced protections like co-tenancy clauses, assignment rights, and pandemic-related force majeure language because the reality is most landlords and brokers aren't looking out for you. They're looking out for themselves. That's why this checklist is so powerful. It turns the lease from a trap into a tool and one that can protect your downside, maximize your runway, and give your franchise the best shot at long-term success. Now, the lease gets you into the building, but once you're open, the real battle begins, keeping the right people in the building with you, right? And that's exactly what we cover in chapter four. One of the most important chapters in Beyond the Brand is chapter four, because let's face it, your franchise is only as strong as the people running it, right? People, product, process. You can have the best brand, the best product, and the best marketing, but if your managers and employees don't stick around, you'll be running in circles. In this chapter, we break down practical retention strategies that real franchise owners can implement, things like equity-based incentives. Think about this. Even a 1 to 5% equity, right? If you granted 1 to 5% equity in a manager, it makes them feel like a true partner, not just an employee. Performance-based equity, stock options tied to opening future units, and restricted stock units with vesting periods are powerful tools that create loyalty. Obviously, they're all used at very high level corporations, right? You could do these same strategies at a small business level. Profit sharing and bonus structures, annual profit sharing after financial goals are met, right? You hit your KPIs, it kicks in a profit sharing or a bonus structure. Retention bonuses for staying through milestones, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Golden handcuffs that vest over time so managers are financially tied to your success. Next would be protective contracts like non-compete, non-solicitation agreements. I'm blown away by how few people use these things. Clawback clauses and vesting schedules that ensure if a manager leaves suddenly or worse, tries to take your staff or clients, they forfeit the benefits that they've earned. Next would be career development and lifestyle benefits. People want to grow, right? They want to learn. They want to make more money. They want to advance through the company. Coaching, leadership training, flexible schedules, perks like company cars and memberships. These non-cash incentives go a long way in creating stickiness between you and your staff. Succession planning and ownership pathways are also huge. We even talk about offering a clear path to a partnership or future ownership. Imagine telling your top manager, stick with me for 5 years and you'll have the option to buy in at favorable terms. It changes everything. And we don't sugarcoat that hard part either, right? We talk about what happens when a manager tries to leverage you, excessively calls in sick, drags out an approved 1 week vacation to a month, we've been there, or threatens to leave unless they get a raise, right? Managers always want to let you know how important they are and that you can't live without them. We've been there. That's why we recommend equity forfeiture and job abandonment clauses that keep control in your hands, not theirs. At the end of the day, employee and manager retention isn't about throwing money at people. It's about alignment, aligning their future with your success, making them feel like they're part of something bigger than just the paycheck. When you do that, they don't just keep employees, you build leaders who grow the business with you. You can have the best team in the world, but if you pick the wrong business model, you're already fighting an uphill battle. So how do you find the right one? That's where our six-step process comes in, the playbook we use to take the guesswork out of franchising. One of the biggest mistakes people make when buying a franchise is thinking they can just Google their way to the right decision. There are over 4,000 brands in the market, most of them unproven or underperforming and not worth investing in. The internet is a minefield of hype and half-truths. That's why Beyond the Brand, we introduce our six-step process, a proven framework that we use with every client. It takes the guesswork out of franchising and replaces it with discipline. Here's basically how it works. So step one, engage. You can't make a fearless move from the sidelines, right? This is where you step forward, schedule a conversation, and start the journey. We cut through the noise and get clear on your why. Why are you here? What are your investment objectives? Step two, educate. This is where we educate each other. You tell us your story, your background, your skill sets, your goals, your risk tolerance, your income needs. And in return, we open the playbook on what types of franchises fit those goals. Brands you've heard of and brands you've never considered, but should. Step three, connect. Once we understand you, we connect you with several franchise brands that align with your investment objectives. This isn't browsing websites. It's direct conversations with franchisors, where the real information lives. Remember, franchises aren't sold. They're awarded to qualified candidates. And this connection is where the MEP, the mutual evaluation process, begins. Step four, evaluate. This is your due diligence cycle. It can take 2 to 3 months, by the way. You're not just reviewing brochures, you're meeting executives, assessing culture, and you're digging into training, operations, and support. You're evaluating them as much as they're evaluating you. Step five, discover. This is also called discovery day, meet the team day, confirmation day. This is where you visit the headquarters, you meet the executive team, you meet leadership, and you take a real look under the hood, right? Take a peek behind the curtain. It's not just about numbers anymore. It's about alignment. Do you believe in leadership? Does this culture fit? And can you see yourself executing the business in your market? And that brings us to step six, decide. It's decision time. By this point, you're 80, 90% of the way there. Discovery day brings clarity and the decision becomes real. No one is ever 100% certain on a business. Fear never fully goes away. But if you've done the work, asked the right questions, validated with franchisees, follow the process, you'll be able to move forward with confidence instead of guesswork. That's the power of the six-step process. It transforms buying a franchise from a gamble into a guided journey. Because franchise success isn't about luck, it's about process. And when you follow the process, you stack the odds in your favor. And once you've narrowed it down, you probably find yourself comparing two or three brands head to head. That's the moment when emotion creeps in. That's why we built the decision-making matrix, a way to compare brands with clarity, not just gut instinct. All right, this brings us to the decision-making matrix. One of the biggest mistakes new franchise owners make is choosing with their gut instead of with empirical data. They get caught up in the story, the brand, the food, the process, the service, and they forget that this is a business investment. That's where our decision-making process comes in. It's the tool we created to take emotions out of the equation and compare brands side by side in real time. Think of it like this. When you're buying a house, you don't just walk in and say, I like the kitchen, sold, let's do this. You look at the school district, you look at resale value, you check out your comps, property taxes, what are you paying per square foot, what's the commute time, to work or school. Each factor matters, and together they determine whether the house is a smart investment or not. Franchises should be no different, but far too often buyers are blinded by shiny objects. Our decision-making matrix forces you to look at the hard facts and weigh them according to what matters most to you. Remember, it's the process is centered around you. Here's how it works. We identify a list of criteria, things like total investment required, average unit value and EBITDA margins, time to break even, territory availability, the quality of the leadership and support team, multi-unit expansion potential, and of course, alignment with your lifestyle and your personal goals. Each of these gets a score. Then we weight the criteria based on your priorities. For example, if cash flow is critical because you need income right away because you're quitting your job, profitability might get a heavier weighting versus a brand that could take over a year to break even, but something that you would enjoy doing more. If lifestyle flexibility is more important, hours of operation and employment headcount may rise in priority. Once weighted, the matrix produces a comparative score for each brand you're considering. Suddenly, it's not just, I like this one better. It's, this one scores a 92 out of 100 for my goals, while this other brand only scores 67. Now, I just want to be crystal clear. The matrix doesn't make the decision for you. It just gives you granular clarity. It protects you from falling in love with the wrong concept or from missing a great opportunity because you were distracted by fear. In fact, many of our clients are shocked when the brand they thought they wanted ranks lower than another brand they barely considered. That's the power of data-driven framework decision-making. The decision-making matrix is your guardrail. It keeps you focused, it keeps you objective and aligned with your goals. But even with all the tools, all the checklists, and all the framework, there's still one thing that can stop you cold, and that is fear. And that's why I want to spend a few minutes on chapter 14, because it is nearly the heartbeat of this book. Fear is so misunderstood. It is a signal to move forward with courage and clarity. In our book, Beyond the Brand, we wrote that fear is not your enemy. Indecision is. Most people think that you have to eliminate fear before making a big move. I believe the opposite. Success demands that you act despite fear. But you feel the fear and you do it anyway. Because everything that I've ever wanted, and I'm sure that everything you've ever wanted, is on the other side of fear. If you're waiting for certainty, you're probably stalling on courage. People don't want freedom, they want certainty. And freedom and certainty rarely live in the same sentence. Fear quietly drives more business decisions than strategy ever will. And yet we rarely talk about it. It's why? Because fear is biological. It's not logical. It's your amygdala scanning for threats, real or imagined. And here's the kicker. 85% of what people worry about never even happen. And the other 15% is almost always manageable. But fear disguises itself and it masquerades around as words like timing, I don't like the economy. And then the new one this year has been tariffs. I'm not sure about these tariffs. I'm just going to wait and see how this plays out. The truth is that fear kills more dreams than failure ever will. But here's why fear wins so often. The brain is wired for survival, not success. That's why we imagine failure so vividly. And it's called catastrophic thinking. And catastrophic thinking is easy. It's like your brain with a Steven Spielberg movie directing a blockbuster of What If It All Goes Wrong? That's the title. And it's constantly looping in your brain. What if it all goes wrong? What if I lose my health? What if I lose my membership? What if I lose money? What if I lose my retirement? But here's the deeper problem. What's really happening is you've created a drought of optimism and a flood of fear. The same way your listeners, right, are drowning in information, but thirsty for real knowledge. Think about it. The news is 24/7. People are literally drowning in information, and they're starving for knowledge. The shift comes when you run a different movie, right? Of course, you're going to play that fear movie constantly, but the shift does come when you play a different movie. Instead of only playing failure on repeat, on a loop, ask, what if it works? That single question will flip the script. What if I make a ton of money? What if I retire early? What if I secure a spouse's future? What if I set my children up for generational wealth? You need to put that movie in there every once in a while you're doom scrolling and doom thinking about how you're going to fail. Psychologists call this loss aversion, right? The pain of losing something is twice as powerful as the joy of gaining it. That's why so many people stay stuck. The fear of losing security screams louder than the dream of freedom, financial freedom, whatever your freedom is. I learned this firsthand with my business partner, Justin, running a restoration franchise. We would pay $50,000 a year every single year in property damage to homeowners until we flipped the incentive. We decided one year to take 50 grand, January 1, 50 grand, and put it into a bonus pool. And every accident was deducted from it. Guess what? No damages. People will fight harder to keep what they have than chase something new. That's how fear works too. So how do you overcome fear? Structure. Fear thrives in the unknown. When you give people a checklist, a funding roadmap, a six-step process, a financial forecast, they move from emotion immediately to execution. And the perfect example of this is a pilot. Think about pilots at 35,000 feet when an engine fails. Everyone on board is panicking, but the pilots don't. They lean on structure. They maintain control. They run the checklist. They communicate with the tower. They execute the plan that they have rehearsed over and over and over again. They still have fear. They're still in fear, but they're following a process. Entrepreneurship is the same. You don't need to suppress fear. You need a franchisee flight plan. And that's why at Phrenosity, we give our clients a disciplined process, a checklist, and models, because structure kills fear. I'm not saying that fear of failure is irrational, right? People do fail in business and in franchising. There's no doubt about it. People fail all the time. But here's the truth. Most don't fail because the model doesn't work. They fail because of misalignment. Wrong person, wrong brand, wrong expectations, not enough bandwidth, right? Those who succeed, they know their numbers. They're coachable. They select sites carefully. They obsess over break-even. They obsess over average ticket sizes and client retention, employee retention. They prepare, and preparation is the antidote to fear. So let me bring this home. If fear is whispering, maybe next year, you're not ready yet. Let's wait for this. Let's wait for that. Let's overcome the economy. What about the housing value? The fear isn't going away, folks, and neither is the opportunity. The only way forward is through action, not avoidance. If you're serious about franchising and want a full roadmap, pick up a copy of my new book, Beyond the Brand, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Fearless Franchising. Inside, you'll learn how to overcome fear, secure funding, negotiate leases, retain top employees, and use our six-step process and decision-making matrix to compare brands in real time. It's available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, and Books A Million. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you feature today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FranOcity.com. We love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.